Been a great day, amen.
Good worship in early church. Good brunch. The ladies did great there, and now second church. It's wonderful. I really am thankful. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll look into the word. Father, we thank you so much for this day. It's a greatest day of the year, and it's a wonderful day to speak and to preach. But it's a wonderful day to celebrate that Jesus rose from the grave. That's where the power is at. That death has been conquered. Greatest event ever. The next greatest event will be his second coming. And we look forward to that. But today we celebrate his resurrection. And so, Father, open our ears, our hearts, our minds, our souls. Help us to hear what you have to say to each one of us. We thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit that guides us every day, that lives within inside of us, whispers to us, speaks to us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, today we're, you know, it's amazing. Now, those of you who, I give an extra appreciation for those who have stuck around, meaning they came to early church and then they came to second church. And that's an extra appreciation. And what you're going to experience is an interesting piece, because you can take the same text and stay true to the Word of God and yet have a different message but the same message. And you say, how can you do that? Well, it depends on which friend, you know, your six friends you use to develop your main idea or your key point, your key idea. And today, you know, how has been the events? What was the big event this week? It was a bridge, wasn't it? The bridge was just, did you see pictures of the bridge? Yeah, I should have had, took a picture and sent it to Heather to put it on the screen, but the bridge was, I mean, and then there were six people that passed away in that at least, and then we also, that was a big event. Huge. How can a bridge that size be, and a boat knock it over, and wow. That was the big news this week. The other big news, but see, you know, even, you know, for a while, war was the big news. But it gets old after a while, because we've been in the Ukraine war for, what, 2 years now? And it's not front page. It's front page, but not in the center page anymore, is it? And then the other war that's starting to get a little tired is the one that started October with Israel and Hamas and all that. And that was the big event, the news. But you know what the big news is that stays around and doesn't go away? It's the resurrection, isn't it? It's here every year. It should be here every day. That event, that big news event is huge, and it's there. And so it doesn't go away. The only better news it's going to be is the second coming. That's going to be better than the resurrection. In fact, that will be a resurrection because we'll see people come out of the graves. And that will be some news, won't it? And when we think about a globe, how can Jesus raise, you know, he's so big that he'll be having that globe in his hand, I think, us, the earth, to that. It's just that is the big news. So the question I want you to put in your mind today that you have is, how does the resurrection events affect you? The events, meaning the things that happen that day, that morning. How do those events affect you? Have you took time enough to read through the Easter story? You know, we like to read through the Advent Christmas story every year. We sit down with the kids and do that at Christmas, but we should really do that with Easter too. We should sit down with the kids. We should do it for ourselves and read through the events. It's amazing. And it's really fun even to do that with all four Gospels because you get a little bit different perspective because the Holy Spirit, through each apostle, gave a little different outlook of those events. And they're so powerful. So today, how does it affect you? How did it affect the, think about this, how did it affect the apostles? How did it affect the ladies? You know, how did it affect those people personally? It's a major, major piece. So we read, starting out in verse 20, or chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, which we know is John, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Wow. And that's with an exclamation mark. She's excited. It's affecting her. Wow, somebody has robbed the tomb. You know, she knows. Why was she going there? She was going there to bring spices and things like that to anoint his body and to take care of his body, and he wasn't there. And the tomb was robbed. The stone was rolled away. And so the stone, the first event that affected everything was the stone was removed. The stone was removed. And so the emotions start to flow. He's gone. I better go tell the guys. So she's running. I bet she ran faster that day than she ran ever. You know, the emotions are there. How could it be? It's been robbed. I'm sure that's what was through her mom. A song, you know, and I mentioned early church, I love the song. I heard it several times this week. A Grave Robber. Have you heard that song? That's a good song, Grave Robber. You know that one, Jonathan? You need to look it up. It's a good one. It's called Grave Robber. And it's about the empty tomb, and it's an awesome song. So anyway, the stone is removed. And so the next part is that the tomb is empty. Wow. So now you have two apostles, Peter and John, very close. Two people very close to Jesus. You think about how this is going to affect them. Because, I mean, Mary Magdalene, you know, he had forgiven her. She had anointed him with a nard of ointment, special relationship there. Really special. You know, she wept. She wiped his feet with her hair and the perfume, anointed him. Tight relationship. Now there's Peter, who has a really amazing relationship with the Lord, and so does John. John, the one whom Jesus loved. Everybody thought, wow, he's special, you know. How would they feel? They get to the tomb. They get to the tomb, and it's empty. You think about how they carried Jesus to the tomb, not light. A dead person feels heavier. Have you ever listed a person dead weight? They are heavy. If they're not trying to help lift, that person, dead weight is heavy. And so they had put him there. They knew. But the tomb was empty. But then the story shifts. And let's read on in the story a little bit. Then, from verse 10, the disciples, and if I don't have it on the screen, that's fine. Use your device, use the Bible in front of you in the pew. We're in chapter 20 of John, verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb. How did the events affect you? Crying. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb, and the two angels in white, saw two angels in white. Wow. Are the emotions flowing? I would think they should be. How many of you seen angels? And the tomb empty. The emotions, you should be, and she was crying. It's okay to cry. It is good to cry. Two angels in white, seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other one at the foot. They ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Well, she's crying because they took, you know, her Lord wasn't there. But they know, don't they? The angels know. Because angel is a messenger. That's what angel means. And they came with the message. What was the message? He is risen! He's not here. He's not among the dead anymore. He's alive. That's the message. That is the message we should be taking every day to our neighbors and friends. Hopefully, you know, today is the day you should have invited. We should all every Sunday, but it's easier to evangelize and share the gospel on Easter and Christmas. In fact, you know, they say you'll have more creasters or people come and visit during, I call them creasters, during this time of year. It's easier to say, "Hey, it's Easter, won't you come to church with us?" You know, it's a lot easier to do that than you can ask them any time, but it's easier on Easter and Christmas. And so, she's done that. Anyway, she is crying. she's weeping. And the angels say, they said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, and I don't know where they have put him. And at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to the Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Wow, she's having this encounter. I can't imagine the emotions, the feelings. She's having this encounter with the resurrected Jesus. Just to have a regular relationship with Jesus would be exciting, but a resurrected one is even more exciting. He's not dead anymore. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told him that he had said these things to her. Wow. So here are the events. The stone removed. The tomb is empty. Peter and John show up and see that it's empty. He appears to Mary. Then he appears to the disciples. And that, you know, there's all these events where he appears to many different people at many different times after this. But each event, there's lots of feelings. And I think that we should be emotional about the resurrection. It's something that, you know, God raised from the dead for me. I can raise from the dead. I have the hope. I have salvation. It's powerful. We should not be afraid of having emotions, and the events should affect us, the events of the story. This news is bigger than any bridge falling. I hate to see war, but it's bigger than any war. This is the news that is important. This is the news that we need to share. So he appears to the disciples. We see Thomas. First, he talks about, sees all the disciples but Thomas, and he says to them, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked for fear of the Jews." So there's another feeling of the events, fear. They're afraid of the Jews. Fear. Is fear a real emotion? It sure is. They're afraid of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, see, the doors are locked. Doors that can't keep Jesus out for locked doors. Even in your heart. Open up your heart so Jesus come in. "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. See, I'm alive. Even though I have these nail marks, I'm alive. Wow. I think they'd all be sitting there like, yeah. Wow. Wouldn't you? I would. You know, think of the events that would affect them. He showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. They were excited. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." So he came with a mission. The mission was, hey, you need to go out and tell everybody about me. Tell them that I have risen from the grave. You know, that is the mission. And that mission has not changed. You know, he gave them the Great Commission, as we read Matthew 28, to go out and to teach and to baptize. That's the purpose of the church. That was the purpose he gave the disciples. We are still in that same business today. That is the same goal of the church. And that's what the resurrection is all about. That's what the event brings about. So, and with that, he breathed on them this is a special piece. Imagine this, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Wow. So, why did he do that? They were not going out on their own power anymore. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, third person of the God, of God. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I probably should do it this way, because I don't think it's a pecking order this way. I think it's this way. Anyway, he breathed on them the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, so that they would have power to go and to speak and to preach Jesus to people. Just think, they could not have done Pentecost without the Holy Spirit within them. See, everything changes here. There's a dichotomy of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was with them. You think about how the cloud followed the Israelites through the desert and all that was with them. The New Testament changes. You have the period of the Old Testament, then you have what they call the in-between testaments. And that's kind of the period here. And then you have the period after that, the new dispensation, they call it. And with this new dispensation, it changes, because then the power of God, the Spirit of Jesus, comes and lives within the believer. He didn't just follow the believer, he lives within the believer. He gives you and I that same power, not just the disciples here, because at Pentecost, they repented and they were baptized, immersed, and they were received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and after that too, those who followed. So that they would, Jesus enables you to speak. Have you ever been in a witnessing situation where you share the gospel? Afterwards, you always say, "I didn't do that. God did that through me. It was the power of God that spoke through me," or the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's about. And here, he did this with the disciples here. He knew that they needed his power within them to move on to Pentecost. And so with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And if anyone, and if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Power to forgive sins. Wow. Now Thomas was not there. See, now Thomas, we see in verse 24, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." You know, they're excited. But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger in his nail where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." You know, because he's like, we like to call him Doubting Thomas. I think it's the other way. He was a strong believer. And when he saw the evidence, when he saw the fact of the event, he became one of the strongest believers. Thomas became the apostle who went to India and preached in India. We have a strong church in India. Well, I won't say a strong church. There's a good church in India. India is a hard country. But he went and preached in India. So a week later, the disciples were in the home again. And Thomas was with them, though, this time. And through the doors were locked. They're still locked. And Jesus came in, stood among them, and said, "Please be with you. Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here in my hands and reach your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Trust is another word for believe. Thomas said to them, "My Lord and my God." Boy, he was a believer at that point. Sometimes I think we're like Thomas. We need that extra oomph. And he got it. God gave it to him. Just trust and believe. God can bless if we go tell the message. I've never converted anybody in my life. It's always the Holy Spirit that converts somebody. It's always the Holy Spirit that beckons somebody to come forward and make a confession with their lips. They hear the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit beckons them, and they respond. you know, different traditions do it different ways. Sometimes it's, we think it's by coming forward. Sometimes it's just a one-on-one confession. Sometimes it's a confirmation class or a discipleship class. It's, those modes aren't the important piece. The important piece is confessing and believing and obeying. It's huge. So the resurrection, these events, the stone removed, the tomb empty, Jesus appeared to Mary, Jesus appeared to the disciples, he appears to Thomas with a challenge, which was met. And then my next one is one of my favorite ones. And you might laugh or smile about this, but I love this next part because in chapter 21, I'm not going to read all of 21, but here, and this is before he reinstates Peter, Jesus said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for they had taken off and jumped into the water. They'd been fishing. The picture is fishing. They had that picture often, didn't they? The event is they're fishing here, so probably a week later or so, and they're not catching anything again. Actually says in the text, what I love about Scripture is the detail. It says that they had Peter, Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net to shore. And when he said, of course, Jesus said, "Go throw the net on the other side, fish on the other side." And then they caught fish, and it was full of large fish, and he says, 153. Specific. That's what I love, is the detail that Scripture gives. But even with so many, the net was not torn, and Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." And that's the part I like. You know, Jesus was there on the shore, and in verse 13 of 21, it says, Jesus took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples, and after he was raised from the dead. So he had breakfast for them. Wow. You know, they get together the third time, and he's got breakfast on the shore, fire, fish, bread. Wow. And now, how's that going to affect your feelings of who you are? This movement has just begun. It just began at that point. The movement, here we are over 2,000 years later, the movement is still going. And just because we know that here in America some churches have shrunk and we've felt that ourselves, whether it's a pandemic or other things, the movement will continue. The movement will continue until Jesus comes again. It will not die. Christianity is not dead. You're all here today. That's a testimony to it. That means you believe. At least you're seeking. If you don't believe, I hope you believe. But the movement, look at it. Don't look at it as churches, as denominations, or just as churches. Look at it as kingdom and movement. It's bigger than us. And it's alive and it's a well. And the church is going to grow in the world until Jesus comes. Have hope. And the hope and the message is the resurrection has not changed. Amen? It is exciting. And we need to be excited about it. And if you can't preach with some excitement on Easter, then I think there's something really wrong. Because you need to have some excitement, because this is the truth. So Jesus shares breakfast with them. What a great picture. I myself have had, they call it, if you go to Israel and you're by the Sea of Tiberias or the Dead Sea there, they call it, if you go to a dining place, they call it St. Peter's fish. I have a picture somewhere of myself. And they put a coin in the mouth of the fish when they serve it to you. It's really cool. And it just peels off so nice and good. But Jesus served breakfast. Awesome. The last event that I want to talk about is Peter's reinstated. Not as a pope, but as the main leader of the church. And here's where he reinstates him in verse 15. He had finished eating with Jesus and said to Simon Peter, "Son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" And he does this the three times, and Peter's a little bit affected, you know, like, "Really? I said I love you. You know I love you." But he reinstates him here, and the statement should be for all of us. He says, Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to Simon, "Son of John, do you love me?" That was a mission statement for Peter. Take care of my sheep. Go do what you need to do in the sense of the kingdom and of the church. So how does the resurrection events affect you? Oh, it's more than Easter breakfast. It's more than just Jesus dying for our sins. It's about a resurrection. It's about the hope of eternity. When we die, it is a blessing because then we have the opportunity to go be with God forever. That's a special piece. Not that I'm ready to do that. I have more preaching to do, more people to love, care about. You should too. But that's something to look forward to because I have the hope of the resurrection. Do you? Amen. He is risen? I don't want you to go to sleep. Won't you stand with me as we prepare? I do have this one other piece that I want to share. You can stand if you like and as we get ready for our invitation. It's called the Whispering Test. Have you ever taken the Whispering Test? This Whispering Test, it's about a little girl. She grew up knowing that she was different. She hated it. We're all different, aren't we? I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl would with a misshaped lip and a crooked nose and her teeth lopsided and garbled speech. Schoolmates would, you know, obviously they make fun of her, and "What happened to your lip?" And she would kind of make up a story, had fallen, got cut, whatever, which wasn't the truth, but she was embarrassed. There was, however, a teacher in a second grade that we all adored. Her name was Mrs. Leonard, and she was short, round, happy, sparkling lady. Annually, we had to have a hearing test. Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class, and finally, it was my turn. I knew from the past that we stood against the door and covered one ear, and the teacher, sitting at her desk, would whisper something and we'd have to repeat it back. Things like, "The sky is blue. Do you have new shoes?" I waited for those words. I waited for those words that God must have to put into her mouth. Those seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said in a whisper, "I wish changed your life." God says to every person, deformed by sin, we are sinners, deformed by sin. God says, "I wish you were my son," or "I wish you were my daughter." That's what it's about. That's what the resurrection's about. He wants you to be his totally. Won't you stand as we sing our invitation hymn today? If you're a person that needs prayer or if a person needs to ask Jesus in their heart, we invite you to come forward and I'll pray with you. If you don't